Victoria Collins is the Liberal Democrat candidate for the new constituency of Harpenden and Berkhamsted. Hello, Victoria.
Hello.
Now, Victoria, first of all, tell us a bit about yourself.
Absolutely. So I live in the new constituency, Harpenden and Berkhamsted, in Berkhamsted. I started my career at the European Parliament, specialised in economic policy and environment and energy. Since then, I have worked, run my own businesses, advised international firms. But there's been a thread really of, and even I think it started when I worked with my mum on the shop floor of her shop when I was younger, and this idea of actually how important the economy was for everyone's lives, this sense of fairness has kind of run through me. And obviously working in the European Parliament, I was very much pro-European, so then politics crept into my life back again after a hiatus away, and then started campaigning with Liberal Democrats, and then have been the candidate now for Harpenden and Berkhamsted for the last year.
And what drew you to the constituency itself?
So I live in Berkhamsted. The reason I moved here a few years ago is that I was lucky enough to, I lived in Brussels, lived in Paris, lived all around. I originally grew up in the north, but there's something about Hertfordshire that is this just beautiful place, which I love the nature, the space, but also the people here are incredible. It's such an interesting mix of people who have worked internationally, locally, who care about what's happening in this country, who care about what's going on, have a real community feel here. And in Berkhamsted, I just absolutely loved as well the history of the place, the nature, the canal, and what did it for me was also the Rex in Berkhamsted as a cinema. I always wanted a good cinema nearby.
Yes, very good cinema that. Since you've mentioned your love for the area, a lot of people love the area and they want to move here. So, of course, building houses is an issue, and it's generally speaking not very popular, is it? Would you accept that we do need more houses in the area first?
There is a real housing crisis in that I speak to families whose children know that they can't stay here at the moment. They won't be able to afford to stay here. That's the main crux of it, as well as actually people who want to downsize but don't necessarily have the right housing there. So the housing need is definitely not being met, whether that's having your first house or moving to one that's the right one for you.
So where should they be built in the area?
Well, what we've said as Liberal Democrats, and we've been very clear about this, is that it should be a community-led approach to development, not what it is at the moment, which is developer-led.
But the trouble is that community-led means, well, not by me, but somewhere else, doesn't it?
I'd say that's not true. I've had very interesting conversations on both sides, and even last night at the hustings in Berkhamsted, people accepted that the questions were both sides. How do we meet that housing need, and how do we protect our green spaces?
Yes, So have you identified through those discussions with people places where you think the houses should be built in the constituency?
I mean, what I'd say, though, is I'm here to represent as the Member of Parliament. What is that? That's about shaping the national framework, so the national planning policy framework that helps local authorities. It's not myself. I'm not a councillor, so I'm not here to say where things should be built, whether it's in decorum or something.
But that national policy would say it's got to be popular locally. Is that right?
No. What it says is that currently it's a top-down approach. Under the Conservatives, it's a top-down approach which says that X number of houses built on some algorithm and outdated numbers have to be built in this area. What we're saying is that local authorities know their area better, understand what needs to be done, and also local communities can then have more power to speak to their local councillors who are here rather than some Conservative politician in an ivory tower who has a top-down figure. It's about giving power and resources to local authorities to do what's right for their area.
Certainly in Harpenden that hasn't worked, has it? Because we don't have a local plan for St Albans District, a Lib Dem-led council, and a failure to produce a local plan.
I would like to clarify that point. So actually it was under the Conservatives running of St Albans, if you look back, that actually the first local plan failed. So it is under Conservative leadership in St Albans that we have the oldest local plan in the country. And it's thanks to the Liberal Democrats that have actually taken it in hand to do things properly and make sure that this local plan goes through so that we're not open to speculative development. But again, coming right back to the point that we are currently under the Conservative legislation, which is a top-down approach, so it's not working because it's currently under Conservative developer-led policy, which is being implemented because local authorities have to follow that.
So you do support the current proposed local plan for Harpenden?
So what you have to realise is, and I'm sure you do know this, is currently it's just passed the Section 18 proposal. What that is, it's not a final local plan as it stands. It's going through the process, which is a proper consultation. Feedback has been given and it will soon go to Section 19. You can't have a binary answer of do you support that or not. What I do support is getting the right kind of community-led development for the people of both St Albans, Decorum, across Harpenden and Berkhamsted.
Okay. Young people can't buy here, can they? Because it's just too expensive. There was a recent survey that came out. I know it's not quite in your constituency, but the same thing probably applies to Harpenden, saying that St Albans was the least affordable place outside of London. And, you know, Harpenden and Berkhamsted are not that dissimilar. So what are you going to do to ensure that young people can stay in the area?
I feel we're going around in circles on the same point, which is what we're saying is that local authorities and also local communities understand that we need to have the right kind of housing. And actually, if we build in a, if it's community led, we can see actually that there may be not these developer led 5-bedroom houses, but actually sometimes more of the smaller houses, which means you can have more on brownfield sites, etc. So I think we're going around in circles, which is that we're saying that it's community led development. And quite frankly, on the doorstep, the biggest issue is health and social care. So planning is and housing is important, but the things I talk to about everyday people are about how the fact they can't get a GP and that they're not being followed up on their cancer treatment.
Okay, let's come on to allied to health then. Social care, your party has a policy of providing free personal care for everyone. What does that mean?
So, I mean, And it really is a massive issue. The people I speak to day in, day out, whether around health and social care, whether it's not being able to find a GP, whether it's not being able to get an NHS dentist. But the biggest thing is that so many people have not been able to, or they're facing the complications and high cost of care, which means that those family members have to sell their homes, have to go through, and a lot of people have said to me it is not clear and the system feels like every moment there's a barrier to getting to the care for the people that you care about. And I've even spoken to one woman, and this is a case up and down, I mean across our constituency and up and down the country. She had to give up her job to care for her husband. What we're saying is that we've got a fully costed plan that includes reversing the cuts on the banks to the Conservative tax cuts to banks, the tune of 4 million, reforming capital gains tax to help raise another 4 billion and 5 billion.
Yes.
And saying let's put that money into providing free personal care so that families don't have to go through this. And what's more important...
What does that mean? Does it include people who are in residential homes? Would their care be entirely paid for?
This is free personal care for those who need
it. So personal care does not mean the bed and breakfast element of residential homes then. It means the care while you're in there. How does that work?
What it means is that you get the care that you need. A lot of people are not...
I'm not really clear what that means. I'm sorry. Does it mean the bed and breakfast element? Does it mean the nursing element? What does personal care mean?
If I come back to why this is so important, and that will help answer that. I went out with, for example, the East of England Ambulance Trust. I've spoken to patient care groups. I've spoken, looking at the numbers even for West Hearts Hospital, Teaching Hospital Trust. The problem is that actually a lot of the ambulance waiting times, A&E waiting times, even our waiting times in hospital for treatment, mean that there is a backup, because actually people who could leave do not have the care that they need to be able to leave.
That's understood. I was just wondering what this free personal care means.
Well, but that's the thing, is that actually, like, it depends on each person. That's the point, is that so certain people, for example,
but in costing it, you must have made some assumptions about what you're paying for. Otherwise, the costing's meaningless, isn't it? So what do the assumptions say?
But it's based on what the care need is. That is based on the care that people will need. But also, what's really interesting is that we haven't costed in actually the savings that this will create. Because what you're saying is, you're trying to have this kind of binary discussion that, oh, are you going to pay bed and breakfast for these people? What's happening currently is that so many people are in hospitals getting, you know, and if you want to put it like that, which I don't think is right, is that they are having that full care in a hospital, when actually nobody wants to be there. They want to be at home. They want to go where they can have the care and support they need. And at the same time, that's what's right for hospitals and for all of us, because it frees up space so that we can cut down on those A&E waiting times. We can cut down those ambulance waiting times.
Okay. Now, you've said that all of your plans are fully costed. It includes things like additional taxes on air travel. So tens of millions of people travel from the UK every year. So they'll be paying more for their air travel, will they?
No. What we've said is that actually for those who fly a few times a year, and most people do, most people if they're... for most people's holidays, that wouldn't change. What we're saying is, those people who travel a lot, let's actually look at whether it's whether that's fair. And you've got to look at here, for example. I mean, there is a massive pushback in this area of the expansion of Luton Airport, because it's currently gone from 18 to 19 million, that has slipped through, but from 19 to 32 million passengers, because people in this area realise that expansion is going to have a massive impact on local infrastructure, is going to have a massive impact on noise pollution, and it's going to have an impact on our environment. And so a lot of people are pushing back on that. So I think people realise that it's important to get that balance right.
Luton Airport's also a major local employer and contributes to the economic growth even within Harpenden and Berkhamsted. So no economic growth from that then, because we're not going to get expansion under your plans. Where does the economic growth come from here around your area?
I think there are plenty of opportunities for economic growth beyond Luton Airport. And actually, my understanding is that there's even been studies that say that Luton should be important that they diversify in their economy. We have an incredible economy across Harpenden and Berkhamsted, everything from Rothamsted Enterprises, which looks at agri-tech, to a lot of hospitality. We have a lot of breweries in the area. We even have bike manufacturers. There's so much fantastic industry here and an economy that, you know, what we're saying as Liberal Democrats is that we are looking at an actual industrial plan. The Conservatives stopped an industrial plan. We're saying let's bring that back. We're saying let's put green tech at the heart of that, upskilling, and also supporting businesses. And that's exactly what's right for Harpenden and Berkhamsted.
Okay. Free school meals is another of your plans. 18,500 more by your own numbers in Hertfordshire. How does that get paid for?
So, what we've looked at is the fact that you've got the Conservatives currently cut taxes to the banks to the tune of 4 billion. You've got, for example, if we look at reforming capital gains tax, where most people, what we're saying is actually increasing the lower threshold. So most people will get a cut. But those who are multi-millionaires...
Sorry, the lower threshold on capital gains tax?
Yeah.
Are you talking
about?
So
we're raising the threshold at the bottom part of capital gains tax, so that actually most people will get a cut. But those who are multi-millionaires and who are paying... who actually pay less in their capital gains than income. We're saying, actually, let's look at that, because we're in a, as you said, there are so many issues. We need to be able to pay for that. Let's look at, say, how we can raise that extra money while giving people a tax cut. And this is a real right. proposition.
So there's quite a lot here, isn't there, that's tax on business. Essentially a tax on airlines. There's capital gains tax. There's the share buyback tax. So quite a lot of increased tax on business and also on wealthier people. Is that right?
So what we have at the moment is the Conservative governments have left this country with the highest tax burden.
I understand that. I'm asking about your plans. So your plans are to tax businesses and more wealthy people more. Is that right?
At the moment, we're facing a cost of living crisis where the Conservatives have left people with the highest tax burden.
Yes, no, we understand that. Could you answer the question?
Yeah, I'll come to that. So since the Second World War, so we're saying is people are facing a cost of living crisis. I'm speaking to people whose mortgages have doubled, tripled, and we should not increase the tax burden on those people. But at the same time, we have, for example, water companies that are making massive profits. At the time when we had thousands of hours of sewage in our local chalk streams, we had, for example, £10 million bonuses going out for Thames Water. There is something wrong there. While people's energy bills with the highest tax burden was going up, we had oil and gas companies making massive profits. What we're saying is actually we're facing a crisis of services in this country, while everyday people's tax burden and bills are going up. Yes, let's look at those that are making massive profits and actually put that back into the services as they should be.
All right, thanks. Finally, what do you think people most worry about in your area?
The conversations I have day in, day out are about health and social care. It's a really sad state of affairs. They are worried that this country is crumbling. They are worried that they can't get the access to the services that they need. They worry that they're not being able to pay their bills at the end of the day. That is the sad reality. And people are desperate for a change.
All right. And finally, if you win on July the 4th, what song or piece of music will you be dancing around the kitchen to? Are you a dancer?
I can be. I think for me it would be something like David Bowie and Changes, because change is needed.
Okay. Victoria Collins, the Liberal Democrat candidate for the Harpenden and Berkhamsted constituency, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Nick.